It's time for one of our favorite guests that we have on periodically. Tim Brando from Fox Sports, with a little jet lag probably, did the basketball game at Ohio State last night where Cincinnati kind of took him to the wire.
Very nice
it's a good
job.
Game. And he's going to be doing Iowa-Wisconsin football this weekend. He joins us right now. Timmy B, how you been? It's been a while.
Hi, Tim.
Fantastic, fellas. Good to be with both of you. And yeah, man, I'm wiping one off the bucket list on Saturday with the Heartland Trophy. I've never called a game at Camp Randall, and I'm really excited about it.
That'll be good. And yet, Camp Randall, awesome place. Mm-hmm. One of the main reasons I wanted you on is to tell these colleagues of mine why it's bogus that Georgia is ranked 6th despite their loss to South Carolina at home. I'm going to put my feet up on the desk, and I'm just going to listen to you answer. Thank you, Tim.
And then make sure, Tim, after you answer that question, because right at the top of your Twitter feed is why Georgia still has a great shot to make the college football playoff if they win out, which this numbnut over here to my right refuses to believe.
Obviously, we've been arguing about this for 2 days.
You know, I really don't care who makes the Final Four in college football. I mean, I really don't. I just think the process is bogus. Mm-hmm. I think it sucks out loud. I think it's really a worse scenario than the BCS was, and that's really hard for me to say because I was the antichrist to the BCS.
Never
thought that anything would be worse than it. But, I mean, this dog and pony show that they're trotting out there with Rob Mullins every week, you know, trying to justify the situational ethics practiced by a committee that has consistently lacked diversity and practiced what I call contrived transparency to fit whatever argument they want to make, when they have absolutely no criteria whatsoever. Everything that's written in these policies is nebulous. It's as bad as trying to figure out what NCAA litigators are trying to tell you about the most recent decision they made. It's just incredible to me. But I did think it was remarkable, but at the same time, not surprising that Georgia was ranked as high as they were. But that said, with the day that they lost at that Twitter feed, I refed that just to make sure Georgia fans who were condemning me for making the statement that I did about them not deserving to be number 6, I wanted to make them aware of, I don't think you're deserving, but I did think you'd be there. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why I reset it. That was from about 3 weeks ago when they lost the game to South Carolina. And when Rob Mullins was asked the question, I think it was Reese Davis, God bless him for having, I mean, for what he has to do to legitimize an interview with that guy, that's as bad as trying to listen to Bill Hancock justify the college football playoff. But Reese asked him a question about Georgia, and he said, "Well, you know, that loss to South Carolina, there was atonement by scheduling and beating Notre Dame. Really? Did they watch Notre Dame and Virginia Tech last week? Did they see that game?
How about Notre Dame, Michigan?
They could have very easily lost it, and they are, you know, falling." I mean, I'm not going to be shocked at all if they lose to Duke this week.
Wow.
At all.
Wow.
Okay? I mean, I'm not. Whatsoever. I mean, Notre Dame is done, okay? And people have looked at the LSU schedule and have said, well, you know, that Texas win is tarnished now because the Longhorns are done. Well, you know, I don't think that one-point win over Notre Dame resonates quite like it once did for Georgia either.
Yeah.
But they were going to make the case to justify Georgia because they're part of the pure playoff privileged.
Yep.
You know, the teams that have brand names, the teams that have been there before, and you know who they are. They are Clemson, they are Alabama, they are Georgia, and they include other powers that bring heavy-duty television ratings like Ohio State. Those teams are going to be propped up no matter what. And the moment Texas is, I mean, how many more times do we need to be told Texas is back, by the way?
You say it every day.
Okay. How many more times? This just in, Texas. SMU beat TCU, but you couldn't. But we live in a world where only the brand names matter. And everything's going to be done. And this is the other thing that bothers me, Carlos. And I don't know why they feel compelled, my friends on ESPN, to say this. But Kirk said it. A few others. Oh, Alabama is 3rd. this is code for you better beat LSU, because if you don't, you have no path in. What a crock. Not Alabama had lost to Auburn in the Iron Bowl, didn't play in the SEC championship, and then went on to get into the college football playoff and win the damn thing not many years ago?
Yep.
I mean, selective memory, selective. This is trying to drum up drama where we all know how this thing's going to end. If Alabama beats LSU, LSU still got a shot?
Yeah.
I mean, they do if they don't screw the pooch after the game is over, as long as they play them competitively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if LSU beats Alabama, do you think Alabama is going to suddenly have this free fall, go all the way down to 8 or 9? Mm. No, they're not.
No.
And if they play Auburn and kick their butt in the Iron Bowl and some other teams lose in front of them, who's going to jump up in the college football rankings any faster than Alabama?
Yeah. Well, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but my big argument with Craig is, and my big argument is, well, look, I mean, they lost the South Carolina game because Blankenship was one of the best field goal kickers in the country, had a brain fart, and missed two in overtime. Missed one during the game, missed one in overtime. And when they beat Notre Dame, they were ranked 7th. And when they beat Florida, they were ranked 6th. Now, we can go back and say what they are now, but I think you have to factor in where they were ranked at the time that they played them. Same thing with LSU with Texas. So, otherwise, we could play this game all day. And my contention is, I think those two wins.
I hear what you're saying. And by the way, that's what fans do all the time. I'm not a fan. I'm not. The argument you're having with Craig and other people are having with me on Twitter because I said this or that about their teams, the anger, the angst, the bitterness, oh my, that comes out this time of year. Don't let the fandom get in the way of the point of view I'm trying to give. Okay, mine is an objective view from 30,000 feet that says this is a scam. This is a Sun Belt Invitational scam for five or six teams that every stinking year are going to be one of the four teams.
Yeah.
Okay, the only thing that surprised me a little bit was that Oregon and Utah were ranked ahead of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Oklahoma lost on the road to Kansas State, a team that's, 17, 16?
Yeah.
So Oklahoma drops to 9.
Yeah.
Georgia loses at home to South Carolina that's not any good, and they're 6. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, what would you do to fix it?
We got to go to 8 teams.
Well, no, I'm with you there. You know you and I are on the same page.
You're not going to get Greg Sankey to go to 9 games. Why? They're hoisting crystals every year. You're not going to get John Swofford to go to 9 games. Why? Who's Clemson have to beat to get in this year? They're in the 5 hole. They haven't beaten anybody. And guess what? They're not going to beat anybody, and they're going to get in. So, I mean, just put Clemson in. It's an automatic invite, okay? And Alabama's not far behind, okay? I'm just don't try to drum up drama by saying, ooh, Alabama's behind LSU. They've got to win. No, they don't. It's as predictable as me telling you LeBron James is going to win the NBA East when he's in Cleveland, and they're probably going to play Golden State.
So what do you say to my
football turning in to the freaking NBA, and it stinks. And by the way, they'll also tell you that they don't have to cover Minnesota or Baylor because the FBI says that they only have a 2% chance of getting in. So we don't care about Baylor at all.
Right.
Forget Baylor. And forget Minnesota. They don't count. This is the media's way of saying, you know what, we just don't have time for you if you're not a brand name. I'm telling you, college football is a sport that I've been passionate about. This is the 150th year of the game. We should still cover the game nationally. We don't. We cover 5 or 6 teams, and we tell everybody else to get the hell off my lawn because you're not big enough for us to care about.
It's wrong.
It's fundamentally wrong.
I'm totally with you on the 8. Now, my colleague over here, we have this argument. He believes that if we do that, it's going to take away the flavor of the moment, say, for an Alabama LSU like this weekend. That's my reaction. Tim, please explain it to this man.
Tim, if we have 8 teams, this is nothing but an exhibition game on Saturday.
We don't want to dilute the regular season. My God, we don't want that Western Carolina-Alabama game to be diluted in any way by going to 8 teams in the college football playoff. Yeah, we don't want that Clemson-Wofford game to lose all of its zeal from a week ago. please, give me a break. All that going to eight teams will ever do is add more drama to the notion that, hey, those two teams play, but they may have to play again. That's why not? And it also tells you that everybody from every part of the country will be involved. This won't be a Sun Belt invitation. And, oh, by the way, strength of schedule, that quotient, might actually matter
when we
go to 18.
I still think it could be this. It still could be this.
Damn who you play now.
It still could be the Sun Belt Invitational. It just means that you get three or four SEC teams in this thing.
Great, but go out and earn it. Mm-hmm. Beat somebody good that's playing well besides the same damn teams that you get to play, and you only have to win one game, two games to win the championship against teams you already know. I'm telling you, Craig, college football was meant to be, when we moved this, that the goal was to nationalize the sport. We've made it more provincial than ever. Mm-hmm. We've turned it into more of a regional sport. If you're west of the Mississippi, we don't care. And if you happen to be in the Big Ten for the last 3 years, the most densely populated area in the country, hell, you're not invited for three straight years.
Yeah. Well, that's because we lost to Iowa and Purdue.
This playoff and the who's in only narrative has ruined the regular season. It hasn't enhanced the regular season. It has ruined the regular season. This game I'm doing on Saturday, Iowa and Wisconsin, these two teams still have a chance for the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah. If they both get to play Minnesota, this is a trophy game, the Heartland Trophy. It's number 13 against number 18. Is anybody talking about this game? Hell no, they're not talking about this game. Now, the people in Wisconsin and Iowa care. They care deeply. Mm-hmm. College football's currency is its history and tradition, and we've ruined it for who's in. Who's in? That's all we stink and care about.
Tim, before we run out of time, I want to get your opinion on the Florida State situation. A lot of people down here are very interested in it. Obviously, Willie Taggart gets fired. Who's your clubhouse leader to maybe get that job?
Well, this will upset some Florida State fans, but hell, I've done that before too.
Yeah.
You know what? The seeds were sown for Florida State to go in the tank the moment they treated Bobby Bowden the way they did on his way out the door. Administratively, when they handed it over to the boosters the way they did, it destroyed them. It really did. I've got a lot of friends down there. I spoke to their touchdown club a little over a year ago. In fact, Jimbo was there. They were honoring some high school kids, including his son as a high school quarterback, or at least was that year. It's just really unfortunate. I feel for the fan base, but a lot of the movers and shakers and the real donors, the ones that are ponying up this $20 million to get rid of Taggart, they're the problem.
Yeah,
they are the problem. And because of that, I don't think a really reputable coach is interested. Matt Rhule is not going to come there. Why would he want to come there? P.J. Fleck just got a new 7-year deal. and by the way, when you do this and you do it this early to a guy like Taggart, it just sends a message that, once again, coaches can cash in without having to do anything other than waiting to see their names in somebody's column that they're a candidate for the job at Florida State. I don't know. The Stoops thing is a pipe dream. I think it's all pipe. Everything that you've read to this point would be a pipe dream. And Florida State will never be what it once was. And a lot of people in the coaching fraternity, when they saw what happened with Bowden and the way he was treated, and you can argue that he had lost it or he wasn't ready, maybe it was time for the move, but they should have let him go out. He wanted one more year, and they wouldn't give it to him. And if you don't give it to him, then what does that say about your core values? And I thought that eventually it caught up to Jimbo, because Jimbo was actually part of that, and it kind of went sour, and it got ugly late. And poor Willie Taggart inherited a bad situation that he couldn't dig himself out of and looked to be in over his head. And that's unfortunate. I don't know who could get that job. I think that's a bad job right now, and I don't think USC's a very good job either.
I agree.
One last question for me, Tim, is that in Michigan, win or lose versus Ohio State, in your gut feeling, whatever analysis, does Harbaugh coaching there next year?
Yeah. No, he's there. Jim, the Blue Bloods in Michigan are really happy that he's there. And so much of what he represents that a lot of the critics are needling him about, you know, the khaki pants, the glasses, the whole, you know, that whole bit. Mm-hmm. That's a throwback to Bo Schembechler in a lot of ways. And I think the locals and the big-time Blue Blood fans of Michigan really dig that. Mm-hmm. The notion that even though he'll get a guy like Gattis to come in and run his offense, but he still wants to run the ball downhill, you know, play it conservatively. That's really the way they like their football to be played. And even though they haven't conquered Ohio State yet, and listen, he really could use that win.
Yeah.
But how about the reaction to the big win against Notre Dame? You would have thought they won a national championship.
Yeah.
You know, this just in, Notre Dame was a fraud. They weren't that good.
Yeah.
I mean, and Virginia Tech almost beat them. Mm-hmm. All right. So, but to those fans, he represents a level of stability and identification to their university that they're very comfortable with. And I get that to a certain extent. I can't talk out of both sides of my mouth. If history and tradition matter to you and you're a fan of this guy because of what he meant to your program over a long period of time, I can see why you dig in and you support your guy, regardless of what happens against your rival opponent.
Well, that's Tim Brando. Tim, we always love having you on. We'll enjoy the Iowa-Wisconsin game on Saturday on Fox Sports. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Tim.
You got it, fellas. Anytime.
All right. That is Tim Brando, everybody.